It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Thank you so much for joining me today on the Amber May Show. So much has happened this week, and I think we just need to talk about it. Well, at least it happened to me. But before we do, I just have to mention, I'd love you to go visit the website infoonoils.com. Infoonoils.com. I have found essential oils, and they have helped me tremendously with my health. And one thing I'm very grateful for is the fact that it has helped me conceive. I've had trouble conceiving, and it has helped me, and I was able to recommend that to somebody else, and they too are now with child, and I think that's so wonderful. So if you feel like, if your doctor feels like you should be able to conceive, but are just having trouble getting there, I highly recommend using essential oils. Visit my website, infoonoils.com, infoonoils.com. And not only that, but it can help you with overall wellness. You know, they have this oil called Thieves, which really promotes a healthy immune system. And if you mix that with oregano and lemon, it's like super wow for your body. So if you want to try to avoid getting sick and you want to stay healthy, or if you are not feeling well and you just want to help your body kick this faster, then I would say, you know, Thieves, oregano and lemon, you got to get it. So infoonoils.com. So much has happened this week. Wow. A lot of heavy conversations. You know, some woman has come out on a thread that I saw and is just really struggling with faith, big time. She grew up in a Christian home or went to church or something like that. But somewhere along the way, she got very angry with God and wanted nothing to do with him. Some of it happened because of the loss of her mother, and I don't know if she experienced other losses as well, but that was a really big one for her, and she just became so angry and couldn't understand how we could suffer, and God must not love us because we suffer, and he could do so much more. And I had to talk to her and talk to her, and I said, hey, I get it. After I lost my third baby, I became very angry with God. And I've told my story before, but I guess I could share it again. I grew up Christian, grew up that way, never had an issue with God, never had an issue with Christianity. And I just had several years of pain in my heart, just several years. And I get it. I understand. I totally get people now when they say, there's no God, they're atheists now, they want nothing to do with him. I get it. It's coming from a place of hurt. If there's supposedly this great God of love, then how come this happens to me? And that was the conversation we had. And I had lost my first child in 2007. It takes me a long time to get pregnant. It's very hard for me to get pregnant. It's hard for me to keep babies. And it's just so painful. I get moms. I understand women who struggle with the loss. I get moms or women who feel broken inside and sad inside because they can't have a child. Or they've struggled with trying to have children or have experienced a lot of miscarriages. I understand how those women feel. And a lot of, for me, I felt like I wasn't even a woman. My body wasn't working right. I felt less than, you know, but you put that brave face on for your friends because they're kind of like uncomfortable sharing the news as is, but you don't want to take their joy away either. And it's this torn part of your heart. You know, you're so sad. You're angry. Why can't you have a child? But at the same time, you don't want to be like that with your friends because you don't want to alienate yourself, number one. Number two, you want what they have, and you want to be happy for them because you would never want them to feel that way. I had just gotten off birth control, so I chalked it up to, oh, there must have been birth control in my system. Okay, could deal with that. A few years later, I had another miscarriage. That was really hard because the first one I had to have a DNC. Excuse me. A DNC is a procedure where if if the uterus is not releasing all the parts that make up a home for a baby, then you have to get it surgically removed because it becomes toxic for the mom. So they put you under, they clean you out, and you don't really have to experience or see anything. With the second one, I had to see everything. I had to see it come out of my body. And I had to go to the bathroom at one point, and you just felt like you're flushing your kid down the toilet. And that was the worst feeling, to think that you just did that to your baby. It was just, it was sickening, and it just made me so depressed and sad, and you're just watching all this blood just kind of gush out of your body, and it's not stopping, and it's a lot comes out. And I was so sad with that one, just so sad. For one, I had to watch it happen. And number two, it was like, wow, it happened again to me. Why did it happen again? Why couldn't I keep this one? You know, you start asking all these questions. I was able to still go to church, whatever. But within a year's time span, I think it was a year, I'm pretty sure. Or it could have been pretty close to, might not even have been a year. Because I remember going on an anniversary trip, and after the anniversary little time we went to the hospital. My uncle was in the hospital. I can't remember if it was a year's time or a matter of months, but it was close together. And I hadn't quite finished mourning the loss of my baby, but my uncle was 39 years old, and he was in the hospital. We're 11 years apart. And he was more like a brother, a friend. We always lived close by each other. He lived in our home for a while when we were growing up. We did things together, and we went out, we had fun. You know, he was not that really uncle, I would say, because we're so close in age. He was my dad's youngest brother. My dad's much older than he is, so he was a lot of fun to hang out with. So we went to go visit him in the hospital after we got back from our little trip. And he was supposed to come out. You know, he was going to be in there for a few more days, and he was supposed to come out. He was in there for cancer, but he never left. And he ended up dying, and that was really difficult. Because also during this time, I was losing my radio program. And I still worked at the station, but you need sponsors to keep your radio program going. And where I was in life, I wasn't in a good place to go reach out for sponsors. So I ended up losing my show for a while. Ended up getting it back, but for a while I lost my show. And that was just devastating too. So I lost my baby. I lost my show. That meant a lot to me. I lost my uncle. Just all around, there was just a lot of loss in my heart. And a few years later goes by, and you know, when you lose someone you care about, it doesn't just leave you right away. I mean, mourning can last for a while. It just doesn't go away in a week, a month, 2 months. It kind of can stay with you. Again, I spent a lot of time with him. So when I lost him, it was sad. A few years later, 2 years maybe, if that. It's hard to remember the time frame, but I never got pregnant like back to back to back. There's always time in between. But I just remember the last two pregnancies were the closest I've ever gotten pregnant before. And I was pregnant again. But this time, the pregnancy was in my fallopian tube. So they rushed me into the hospital. I had emergency surgery done. And you feel at that point that you just killed your own child. Even though your child was going to die anyways. The hospital staff told me there's no way the child is living at that point anyways. I don't know if they were trying to be comforting or if that's the truth, but that's what they told me. But it still doesn't change how you feel. And so you felt like, oh man, I'm taking my kid's life again. Well, not again, but like the second time I felt like I was flushing the kid down the toilet, and that was horrible. It was either me or the baby, and at that point it had ruptured my fallopian tube, so my life was definitely on the line, and they rushed me into emergency surgery, took care of the pregnancy. And on the way to the ER, before we went to the ER, or the surgery, I asked my doctor, I'm like, is this going to lower my chance to get pregnant? And he said, some. And I was devastated because it's already so hard for me to get pregnant. And now it's going to be harder. And I got in a bad place and I hated God. And I wanted nothing to do with him. I wasn't going to pray. I wasn't going to sing praises. I wasn't going to go to church. The ironic thing is, at the time I was working at a Christian radio station. Couldn't really escape, but I kind of blocked out some of the preaching. We did a lot of secular shows too, because it was a family-oriented station. So a lot of the programs were like just talk programs. But I still was friends with a lot of the pastors that came in, and I didn't have a problem being friends with them. I just really didn't need to hear what they had to say. But somewhere along the way, my heart started getting better. But my final breakthrough is when I stepped back into church. And how I got there, I don't know. Because there was nothing inside of me wanting to go to church. But the first day I walked into this church, I found some friends of mine, old friends of mine from college. And that was pretty cool. But I was like, I ain't singing. I might listen. I don't know. I was just so obstinate because I hated him. I hated him. How could he let this happen to me? Doesn't he know how much pain I'm in? Doesn't he know how much I want a baby? Doesn't he care that I want a baby? All these things. And if you've ever been truly hurt, it's so easy to blame it on God. It's so easy because it's all his fault. It's so easy. And that's okay. If you want to do that, you can. God could handle it. He can take it. He's big and strong, and he can handle that because it doesn't change the fact that that thinking wasn't the correct way of thinking, but God can handle that way of thinking. And then one day I went to a Good Friday service, and he was getting to the part of nailing Jesus on the cross. And that's when God spoke to me, and he said, Amber, do you think I would have gone through all this pain of being nailed on the cross just to cause you pain? And that was my breakthrough. You know, God had been silent up until this point. He hadn't spoke to me. He hasn't said anything. My husband, I don't know why he was going to church. I couldn't understand it. Didn't he understand? You know, we couldn't have a baby, and we've lost 3 children, and he didn't save my uncle. Don't you understand? Why are you going to church? He was patient with me, too. He didn't push it. But when that happened, that was my breakthrough, and I got released from the pain in my heart. I have been able to turn that pain into good. Because the only way that, you know, God isn't up in heaven, and he needs people down on earth to give hugs to people, to physically touch someone. And the only way that we can really reach someone is if we completely understand their hurt. It's one thing to empathize with someone, but it's another thing to sympathize with somebody. You know, there's a lot of parents and a lot of people on this earth that has gone through a lot of pain, and there's a lot of pain that I have never had to experience, and I'm grateful for that. But there is pain that I have had to experience. And the only reason why God allowed that to happen, not because he was happy I was hurting, not because he caused the pain necessarily. He didn't cause anything. He didn't say up in heaven, okay, now you're going to have a miscarriage. He didn't tell my body, okay, now get rid of the baby. He wasn't saying any of that. It wasn't even in his mind to do so. He knew it was going to happen, but it wasn't something he caused to happen in my life. He didn't cause the cancer in my uncle's body. That's not something that he does. The result of all these things that we go through in our physical body is because our body is affected by sin, and our DNA is corrupted, and our body doesn't work perfect because it no longer is perfect. It was only perfect once, and that was in the Garden of Eden. And after sin came, then the flesh became damaged, and it's no longer perfect. It doesn't work perfectly like God wanted it to. That's the result of sin. It's just what it is. And so once I got released, I found out he allowed it to happen so I can be that compassion to someone who's in so much pain like I was. There wasn't a ton of people I knew at that time who knew what I was going through. But later on, I started realizing more and more women, whether it was on a forum or whether they entered my life at some point, knew the pain I felt. And they recently had felt the pain and were going through it. And I was able to be there for them and hopefully help them avoid the darkest part. Because you know what? I got to a point I wanted to just drink my pain away. Didn't open a single bottle because I didn't need another problem on my hands. But the temptation was strong. And I have to believe it was the Lord that helped me avoid that temptation. Because there's nothing in and of myself when I was so fragile would have been able to withstand the temptation. So I have to believe that God was really helping me when I didn't feel like he was there. Kind of reminds me of the Footprints in the Sand poem. The guy's like, "Where were you, God?" And he was like, "There's only one set of footprints and I was carrying you." So you like look back and you see these little moments. He gave me a compassionate, caring husband to help me. Someone who wasn't chastising me for not going to church. Someone who wasn't pressuring me to go to church. Someone who just was there to love me. And I was still at a Christian station. He put me there, I think, on purpose. Right after I graduated, I landed the job there. And I think because he knew what I was going to be going through down the road. And if I was around godly people, and even if I was trying to avoid hearing things, some of this stuff would enter my brain and I would hear it. And faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. And only God can really heal the soul where it hurts the most. So I told this lady my story. And she said, "That's so sad that that happened to you. And I too went through a miscarriage." But if God supposedly loves us, then why does he let us suffer? Aren't we not supposed to be suffering? And a lot of people ask that question. They think once you become a believer, then your life should be great and wonderful and grand. And God should poof, magically take care of all these hurtful things. But that's not the way it goes. And the Bible doesn't promise that we wouldn't suffer. Actually, it said you are going to suffer because you follow me. Christ himself suffered on earth. His whole life was just about suffering. He had people want to try and kill him multiple times, not just the last time. There was people in his entire life trying to kill him. At one point, the whole city of Nazareth tried to push him off of a mountain, and it was a miracle he was able to escape that. He had his best friend betray him. He experienced the pain of death when his friend Lazarus died. He wept, it said. He cried. The Bible said he wept. And I'm sure that wasn't the only time Jesus wept either. And he was in so much agony when it became the hour for him to be taken into custody. It said, you know, his human side was struggling with his divinity when it said he was in the garden praying and blood started dripping down his face because of the stress his body was in, knowing he knew exactly what he was going to go through. He knew exactly that they would whip him to the point the Bible says they didn't even recognize him. They whipped him. They beat him. They stripped him practically naked. And he had to prance around in practically nothing. How humiliating is that? People spit on him. And then ultimately nailed to the cross. And he knew exactly what was going to happen because he was God and man all at once. And he was struggling. His human side was saying, "Don't do it. Run away. I don't want to experience hurt." But his divinity side, knew what he had to do to take care of this problem called sin. So yeah, Jesus suffered a lot. He suffered a lot. He knows what it's like to have to face temptation because he too is tempted. He knew what it was like to feel betrayed by people that were close to him. He knew what it was like to feel rejected, constantly being kicked out of cities. People didn't want him around. His life was not glamorous. It was all about suffering. And she didn't realize that. She saw things a little differently. She went from practicing Christianity to practicing Wicca. And that's a big jump from one spectrum to the other. That's huge. It's not just a little step. That's a big one. I understand it. I get it. But that's a huge jump to make. And now she's struggling with, does she go to church with her husband and support him? When she still has all these hurts in her heart. I told her she should go. And eventually, what she's looking for, she's going to find. Because it happened to me, and that's where I found my release, was in church. That's where I found my release, and I want her to feel that release too. I want all that pain that's in her heart to be gone, so she doesn't have to walk with it the rest of her life. She can be free from pain. And the only one that can help her is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the best place to find it would be in church. And then I got on other conversations because so many people got hurt by people in church. Because people do stupid, foolish things. You know, this church is made up of nothing but sinners. Just trying to do their best they can to live the right life. But in the process, sometimes they hurt people. Sometimes they get too righteous. And, you know, getting too righteous is a dangerous thing because you are not any more perfect than me. We are on the same level. We have sin. We just sin differently than each other. We all have that issue. And it just saddens me because so many people get turned away from the church because of how people in the church treated them. But don't walk away from God because God didn't let you down and God didn't hurt you. Those people that just didn't know better hurt you. Those people are nothing more than sinners just trying to do the best they can with the knowledge they have. And it's horrible that they hurt you. It's awful. And I'm sorry that these people hurt you. But please don't take it out on God because it wasn't his fault. It's just mankind not being perfect. Guess we all could use some forgiveness now and then, huh? I sure like to be forgiven. So it was a heavy week. A lot of heavy conversations. So I don't know if this was a blessing to you, but just know if you're in pain, you're not alone. If you hate God, you're not alone. I just hope you don't stay in that place forever because hating something and feeling sad for a very long time ends up eating at you. Sometimes people turn bitter from it, and no one wants to be around a bitter person. Heck, I'm sure you don't want to be a bitter person. I'm sure you would want to have that carefree, happy life that you once had before the pain entered your heart. There's hope. There's hope. I know for a fact there's hope because I felt the hope. I also told her to go back to my show, the Amber May Show, .com or go to my podcast page and look for a show. And you could even go to my podcast site, the AmberMayShow.podbean.com. You can look for a show called The God Who Answers by Fire. You can even Google it, The God Who Answers by Fire, The Amber May Show, The God That Answers by Fire. And it should come up for you. And it was a woman who went her whole entire life not believing in Jesus Christ. And you got to hear her story because it's pretty fascinating. I don't want to spoil it for you because you should hear it coming from her own mouth. Anyways, remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else. Because eventually, number two will look out for you.